7. A Secret Life. 6 months later, a letter arrived at the Langham Hotel. The bellman slid it under the door of room 443, where it was picked up by a young but slightly calloused hand. The letter was read once, its contents committed to memory, then it was burned. Octavia Milkweed chose a blue bonnet and matching crinoline dress, applied a light dusting of rouge to hide her freckles, and used the hotel pen and ink to write down the name of a man and his address. The ink was a cheap kind, and she had to go over her writing twice. She waited for the note to dry before placing it in her purse, then left the room, umbrella in hand. She rode the lift down to the lobby and had the porter hail a hansom cab. When she told the driver their destination, he furrowed his thick brow.
"Seven Dials? Are you certain?" he asked.
"I am always certain," she replied with a degree of haughtiness.
The cabbie shook his head. She felt the cab jerk and shake as he climbed into his station at the back and flicked the reins. The horse trotted down the granite-paved street. Octavia grinned. She knew that being confident and dressing in such finery intimidated lower-class men. The cabbie probably thought she was 20 years old, maybe even 25. Her own best guess at her real age was that she was 15. No one had written down her birth date at the orphanage, so she would never know for certain. She had rehearsed the instructions in the letter several times, creating both a new persona and a plan. Acting had always come natural. She didn't much like being herself most of her childhood years. Better to invent someone new. It was still light out when they drove through Seven Dials. Seven streets met at a junction with a sundial in the centre. It was a nasty neighbourhood, and Octavia knew it well. She'd eaten and drunk in the gin shops and pubs, hidden in a cellar nearby to avoid Pickle Nose, a particularly nasty copper. Any of the ragged children with their dirty hands pressed up against shop windows displaying third-hand dresses could have been her a few years before. Even the sundial brought back memories. It was the first place she'd kissed a boy, a young gentleman. She had stolen his watch and wallet that day. A good haul. Two horses snorted as they pulled an omnibus past Octavia's cab, clerks in derby hats gawking out the windows. Below them was emblazoned an advertisement for Oakey's knife polish. The omnibus nearly collided with a knacker's wagon. Octavia wondered what madman had designed such an intersection. Ruffians ran in front of her cab, paying no mind to the danger presented by horse hooves. She directed the cabbie to a nearby pub.
"Please hurry and do your errand, madam," said the cabbie. "These streets ain't safe."
She offered him a threepence.
"This will ease your mind."
He coughed gently into his gloved hand, and she dropped a few more coins into his palm. When she entered the Red Boar, a cloud of burned bread, burped beer, and thick smoke made her wrinkle her nose in disgust. The pub was lit by one large oil lamp. Three customers, already sodden, were slumped against a table. One lifted red-rimmed eyelids to take her in. She told the portly innkeeper her purpose, giving him her kindest smile.
"Oh, you want to see Mr. W, do you?"
the innkeeper grumbled.
"He's rooming at the top of the stairs. Oppie, show our guest the way."
Octavia thought the man was speaking to the air, until a pile of rags behind the counter moved. A dirty-faced boy, thin as a broomstick, rubbed at his eyes, yawned, and stood up.
"Be quick,"
the innkeeper barked.
"This way, missus,"
the boy said, leading her through a door and up a set of creaking stairs.
"You got business with Mr. W?"
he asked. She judged him to be no more than 8. The only clean thing on him was a near-fashionable red neckerchief tied over his collar.
"Yes, I do. Though I must admit I have never met him. What is he like?" "I brings him his meal 3 times a day when I'm not cleaning out the slop for Mr. Burks. Sometimes Mr. W tells me stories. He reads them from a book."
"So he lets you into his room?"
"No, I ain't ever seen him. He reads them through the door. He's a brainy sort. A master detective he is. Find anything or anyone that's missing, 100% is guaranteed. He's better than all them clowns in Scotland Yard.
How much does he pay you to say that?
She asked kindly.
Ma'am, God's truth, I'm just repeating what I hear on the street. He's a real good sort, and he says I could one day be his prentice. Oppy Wilkers, detective. Nice ring, ain't it? He's generous, too. He gave me this neckerchief when I told him it was my birthday.
And was it your birthday?
Of course, miss, of course.
Octavia nodded. The boy was lying. She'd changed her own birth date on occasion to coax gifts out of unsuspecting boys. The kid was clever, but talkative. The bit about Mr. W. never opening his door was an interesting piece of information. He must be a very private man. She was led up a narrow staircase where a small broken window let in a few rays of light.
That's where Mr. W. stays. Top of the inn it is. Only room up here.
He pointed at a door.
I leaves his meals here. He's partial to chicken.
On the floor was a plate littered with bones. Oppie picked it up.
What else you need, missus?
That will be all.
She slipped tuppence into his hand, and he gave her a near toothless grin.
Be at your beck and call just down the stairs, he said as he skipped away.
Octavia stood in front of Mr. W.'s door and noted the lion that had been carved into it. She considered the stature of the guests who may have at one time stayed there. She knocked and waited, but there was no reply, which gave her pause. The letter hadn't said what to do in the event that her contact was unavailable. Perhaps she should leave a note. Then, just as she was about to call for Oppie, she heard the groan of floorboards.
Yes?
Asked a deep male voice.
I have come about your notice in the paper. I need you to find something.
A few moments passed.
What sort of item?
She sensed he was not using his real voice. The pitch occasionally wavered.
A very important one. May I come in, Mr.
Wellington?
Wellington? Truly?
Yes, but I'm not the Duke of Wellington, obviously. And no, you may not come in. Those who employ me cannot see me.
Then how will I know I can trust you?
Never trust your eyes, that's my motto. In any case, by remaining anonymous, I can move around London town and beyond without being recognized. If you don't agree with the terms, you are free to go. But you should know I have many satisfied customers.
He spoke with a slight accent. She couldn't place it. His tone was somber and each word deliberate. A flicker of light on the door drew her attention. She now saw that a tiny peephole had been rigged in the eye of the carved lion.
"Mr. Wellington," she said wryly, "are you watching me?"
A thud from the other side of the door.
"No, don't be silly. I can't see through doors."
Knowing full well he could see her, she resisted the urge to smile.
"Well, then, if those are your terms, I suppose I have no choice but to accept them. And since this mission is of utmost importance, you must begin today."
"Today? I am rather busy, of course, but,
well, what is it you want me to find?" "It will no doubt sound peculiar, but, you see, the thing I have lost is my brother."
The floorboards on the other side of the door creaked, and she imagined him scratching his head.
"Your brother?"
"Yes, my dear brother."
"Has he left the country? Does he gamble?"
"Forgive me, I haven't been clear. My brother's not gone, exactly. I see him every day, but it's at night. At night."
She touched her hand to her forehead as though she were about to faint. The door jiggled on its hinges.
"At night, he disappears," she whispered.
"He's a member of the Young Londoners Exploratory Society. He says he's only attending meetings, but sometimes he returns looking crazed, and... Mr. Wellington?"
"Yes?"
"Once I saw blood on his clothing."
"His own blood?"
"He said it was a nosebleed, but I worry. He's, I don't know, not himself. Sometimes I feel as though I've lost him."
Octavia pulled a lace handkerchief from her sleeve and dabbed her eyes. The handkerchief's corner was monogrammed with a large L.
There, there. Please don't cry.
I will do my best to discover the source of your brother's difficulties.
So you'll take on the case?
She said breathlessly.
Yes, but first I do have an important question. What is your name?
Audrette Featherstone,
she said with a sniff.
Well, Miss Featherstone, please be so kind as to give me more details about your brother, beginning with a physical description, a list of his habits, and what he does during the day. Oh, and where he lives.
I have his address here.
She slid the note she had prepared under the door. She glimpsed a gloved finger as Mr. Wellington snatched the paper. She heard him clear his throat.
Good. Good. Allow me a moment to fetch my journal.
Octavia smiled. She had completed her assignment. Her employer would be pleased.